good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Shane Cronican.
How's it going?
And Brent Frugier.
Hello.
We have an excellent episode, once again, as always. Today's episode is brought to you by the letter P for Palm Springs.
Oh.
Did you think there was another thing that sponsored this show?
Nope.
No, I want to hear what you're going to be mean. Say it. Say something.
No.
Say something sassy.
No. No. I just didn't think we had sponsors, and I don't know why the letter P would be one.
Well.
That's not really like a sponsor.
Oh, I'm sorry. You've obviously never seen Sesame Street.
They don't get sponsorships from the letters.
Yeah, isn't it? Don't they do that? Isn't today's show is brought to you by the letter P?
No. Yeah, and then they say a word that starts with P or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Shane. Check yourself.
It's not a sponsor.
It is a
sponsor.
They don't
get money from the letter P.
Well.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
I know for a fact.
The show is brought to you by the Association of Alphabets.
Fair.
Yeah. So anyway, today's letter is brought... Today's show letter is brought to you by P.
Okay.
Anyway, we have Palm Springs review on today's episode. God, that was a stupid intro.
Yep.
par for the course, I suppose. Anyway, we have Palm Springs. It's a Hulu original review on today's episode. But first, I want to do hot take alley. How many, by the time we die, which could be tomorrow, which
could be
in 40 years, how many Batman do you think there will be?
How many more?
No, just how many people will have played Batman by the time we die?
I mean, 20? How many are there already? And there's going to be at least, five or six different ones in and if you're including voice acting, I mean, probably going to be 50.
Cool.
I guess.
Did you
I mean,
guys
as
see
long it? As they do it right, I don't know if this is what you're getting at, but that was the question my wife asked when we watched that new Batman trailer, is how many times can you just continue to tell the same thing? I don't know. I guess we'll see if this one is different or if it's just another dude doing the same thing. I don't know. We'll see. The trailer looks very good. It looks well made. I like the tone. I like the idea that I've read about it, that he's going back to being a detective instead of the superhero type thing. But I don't know. I'm bought in. Robert Pattinson looks good. I like the director. I'm bought in, but I'm skeptical because it's like, what do you? That's a bland character to begin with. And yes, I mean, have any of them stood out as Bruce Wayne, the character, or has it just stood out because it's Batman and people just like Batman?
I think the universes stand out more than the characters.
Yeah, the character's lame. He's just some rich white dude.
He's the world's greatest detective.
But he never has been in any movies.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And I think, okay, so going back to how many times are they going to do the same thing over and over, I think it plays pretty well because it shows that there are so many different ways to make a movie in general. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there could be Batman the comedy in 20 years. You don't know. Like,
yeah,
like
there could be.
I'm just saying, like, there are so many different ways to make the same story which I think is interesting in and of itself. But going back to Batman in general, I don't think he's a boring character. I just don't think he's ever gotten the opportunity. And I say
that's fair. Nobody's ever done. I mean, he's a psychopath. Right. This is a dude that like dresses up like a bat, and like he has a nutcase. He's a nutcase, and
you know who's done
they're it? Always just like, oh, he's a hero. No, he's kind of a creeper. He's a nutcase. Like, explore just the fact that he's just this crazy psycho going right. around beating the shit out of people that he deems are bad guys.
Petty theft. And he just like wails on him.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. Maybe I just am done with Batman and bored by the idea of him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's like it's an interesting case study because, like I said, look at how many different ways you can do this, and why so many movies get turned down because someone doesn't understand like the pitch. You know what I mean? Like if you go to a studio with like this quote unquote original idea, you just have to portray it properly. Like yeah. I want to make Batman a character driven movie instead of a story driven movie.
And I hope that's what they do. I hope that this is the first time that Bruce Wayne is a character and not just Batman fighting bad guys. Right. I mean, even Christopher Nolan, that trilogy, that Bruce Wayne was not, he was boring. Like he was never a character that had any arcs or any depth.
They tried with Maggie Gyllenhaal's character.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm just spitting out rambles here. I don't know if Heath Ledger's performance was like totally overpowering in that movie.
Well, it was more of the intention was to make it a crime thriller and right. like, you know, similar to Heat and things like that. I don't know. I guess if you're a rich dude by day and Batman by night, you don't have time to be a human being. Maybe I don't. I guess that area has never been explored, and it kind of bores me at this point.
Well, with most of the Batman movies, if not all of them, it's been more the villain that gets the like story arc and the character type stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and if you think about it, like the Batman villains are probably the most interesting and best villains in comic books.
Name
so, one. I mean, I guess people kind of want to know more about them than Batman anyways.
Name one. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Okay,
yeah. I mean, I am excited for it. I think that I like the director. I like the actors in it. The tone of the trailer looked good, but I'm just skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand skepticism at this point, but I think studios are with the success of Joker. More willing to have it be, you know,
original piece. I hope, and to take it into directions that
right.
that aren't as safe. I hope mm-hmm. that's the case. I mean, I would love for them to come out and say this is R-rated. Even just that to mm-hmm. be the first R-rated Batman, you know, to where they have no restraint and they can take it and do whatever they want. But will that happen? I seriously doubt it. And
yeah, so I know
we'll see.
This is a little off topic, but I know that Michael Keaton was rumored to play a Batman.
He's coming back in the Flash movie. It's like basically how they did with that Spider-Man movie where there's multiple universes. Yeah. It's like a DC version of that. Basically like something that I don't exactly know how it goes, but there's multiple universes. So they're bringing back Ben Affleck, they're bringing back Michael Keaton. They've already cast other people as Batman.
Oh man. I saw that they were bringing back Batfleck.
Yeah. Which I mean, I liked him as Batman, but again, who was he as Bruce Wayne? I don't know.
Well, that movie
sucked.
That movie has more problems than who's Bruce Wayne.
I know his mom's name is Martha. That's about all I got from that movie.
Oh God! We have that review. I want to go back and listen to that. I don't want to watch the movie. I just want to listen to our review of it.
Well, we could watch and review the 4-hour Snyder cut.
Did they release
that?
Is that a
thing? Isn't that the Justice League one?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's Justice League, not the Batman v Superman. But DC. Yeah, HBO. That's the other thing that makes me hesitant is DC. is garbage.
Well, what would you rather have? The complaint that Marvel movies are all the same or hot garbage? Because hot garbage might... No, hot garbage might be trying new things and it's just failing. Whereas...
Yeah, but they're not... They have with Joker, I guess, but other than that, they're just doing... they're trying to mimic Marvel and failing at that.
Yeah, and that's fair. I don't know. I
wish DC would be the one that should be their niche instead of trying to catch up to Marvel and do this whole universe and build this thing that Marvel spent years doing and just do standalones and let them all be unique visions by writers and directors. Mm-hmm. Have that be your draw. I would 100% appreciate that more than Marvel, but all it is them playing catch up and trying to mimic and failing at it.
Well, but
but with you might appreciate that, but I think the majority of people like what Marvel does with the universe of DC. Yeah. It's like, no, hey, let's get that money and do that.
See, that's exactly my point, or my same thinking was like, we talk about how A24, what's Annapurna, right? Is Annapurna the one that made that lost money?
Yeah, along with other of their movies.
Right. They had like, I don't know, 20 movies in 2018 or 2019 that were highly rated by critics, and then they all lost money. And it's like, yep. how are you even...
Yeah, it is what it is. It's a business.
Yeah. So, I mean, which sucks, but I mean, it is what it is. Also, I don't think... Like, they're putting out bad movies, but I don't think they're losing money.
Oh, of course they're not. No, those movies are racking up money. Those,
yeah,
they're not losing money by any means. But
worldwide gross of Batman vs Superman was $875 million.
Yeah,
budgeted at $250 million.
People see them, but they just aren't good.
No, nope.
I mean they're. I guess some people dig them, but people are excited about the Snyder cut of Justice League, and it's like, I mean, it's still Snyder. It's just going to be more junk. I don't get it. I just don't get excited about these movies anymore.
They're at least breaking it down into four different parts. It's not just all at one on you, because HBO Max, I think, is cutting it into 4-hour mini series type shows.
Who knows? Maybe it'll surprise. I mean, I enjoy a lot of those types of movies for what they are. I don't like to dump on them just for being generic. They're fun, and a lot of them get the tone of the comics right. But
yeah,
I just have an ingrained hesitation to be on board for them.
Yeah. Also, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman has been a shining bright spot. It does.
Shining bright spot.
Yeah, that was a fine movie. I think it was overrated. It was fine.
I liked it. And speaking of, Wonder Woman 1984 comes out October 2nd.
They just released a trailer to that. A second trailer. I don't know. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
It showed more. Well, some of it showed the cheetah. What is that girl? Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig is playing Cheetah. It showed some of her, so it looks fine. I mean, it looks the same. I have the same thoughts of that trailer that I did watching the first Wonder Woman. It's the best of the DC properties, but to me, it's just fine.
Yeah, yeah, totally get it. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about as far as superhero films?
Nope.
All right. Well, what have you seen lately, Shane?
I've seen a couple movies. I kind of had a B horror movie day where I just watched, you know, low budget crappy horror movies. And the first one I watched is The Beach House, which is on Shudder. I don't know if it's available on anything else. It's kind of like a ecological horror. There's I guess a virus or something. It might be from outer space. And I was hoping it would be like a body horror type of movie where because that's what the description is in the trailer makes it out to be, is that this, whatever it is, essentially changes humans. And I was hoping for some body horror, but it wasn't much. It was very slow. It was a lot of drama focused because I think it was like an indie very low budget movie. I didn't dig it much, but I don't know. Maybe, I guess.
That movie come out in like the early 2010s, mid 2010s, or is that a newer?
No, that's this year.
Okay, there must have been another movie that came out around that time called Beach House, or something along those lines. Because I remember I had to go see it because this girl that I was dating at the time wanted to see it. And I'm like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Not so. That Beach House. This one's a horror movie.
Well, no, it was a horror type was movie. Okay. But it might not have been called Beach House, but I think it was something along those lines or something like that. Mm.
Well, this one wasn't good either. The other one I watched, I just watched it based on the premise. It's a Western horror. Some train robbers rob a train, and there's a chest that they find that is supposed to have gold in it, but it has a young woman instead, and she takes them back to her town, and it's a town full of witches. And I thought, I like the idea. The execution is not good. Very low budget, very bad. It's just poorly written. The action is, I was hoping for at least campy fun given the budget, but it wasn't even that. So I didn't like that one either. And then the best of the bunch, I watched one called Blood Vessel. This ship gets hit by a torpedo and they're on a lifeboat and they come across a Nazi boat. It's in World War II era. And it's an abandoned Nazi boat that was carrying vampires. So these people have to try to survive vampires. And it's good. And like, you know, if it was something where you're sitting there watching the Sci-Fi Channel late at night and it comes on, you'd probably be pretty happy with it. So in that context, it was enjoyable, but it also was pretty bad. If we're comparing it to like actual movies, but that one was at least enjoyable for like the crappy, you know, sci-fi horror type of movie. And that was the best of the bunch, at least.
You say that, and I still have zero desire to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I bet Matt would. So you're just not the crowd that it's going for. Because I bet Matt, I think Matt would like it too. It's got enough camp to make it fun, and it's just,
God.
I mean, that concept in itself is just silly.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that was all I watched. I just had. Yeah, just went on a B movie binge and
a bender.
Yeah, I was not rewarded. I was not rewarded.
That's funny. Brent, what about you?
I actually haven't been able to watch too much recently, so I don't really have anything for this segment. Sorry.
No, you're good. I honestly don't know if I do either. I'm trying to think. I didn't watch any more. What was that one show? Man versus woman.
That'd be a fun show.
Yeah, that I'd be down to watch that. No, Man Seeking Woman. I haven't seen any more of that. Although I do recommend it still. And I don't know. I don't think I started any new series. It was just a slow week. It was so beautiful out that I spent a lot of time outside. So, I'll do that. Today's show is brought to you by The Great Outdoors.
Oh, man. Good. We just switched sponsors all of a sudden.
Well, we haven't seen any money from the letter P yet, so I'm fine dumping them.
Right. Right.
Maybe The Great Outdoors will contribute something.
Right. Some squirrels will drop some nuts off at my front door or something.
I mean, that's something.
Yeah. No, so there are more things to do in the summer, I think, than just sit outside, than just sit inside and watch movies. So I'm totally okay with, I don't have anything to watch.
And it's not like there's a bunch of good movies to go out and watch. I mean, I'm sifting through B-movie garbage trying to find gems. Like, there's no big releases that I'm pumped about.
Yeah. Yeah. So not a whole lot on the what have you seen lately. So are you guys ready to get into Palm Springs then?
I am.
All right. Palm Springs from 2020, rated R, hour and a half long, comedy fantasy mystery film when carefree Niles and reluctant maid of honor Sarah have a chance encounter at a Palm Springs wedding. Things get complicated as they are unable to escape the venue themselves or each other. Directed by Max Barbacow and written by Andy Ciara, starring Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, and J.K. Simmons. There might be a few other faces that you recognize.
Yeah, Peter Gallagher's been in a bunch. He was the bride's dad.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies.
Yeah, I think the husband, I don't even know his name.
Yeah, Tyler Hoechlin or Hoechlin.
Yeah, he's recognizable from a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jenna Friedman, the bartender, is also familiar from something.
Yeah, I don't know what, but I thought the same thing. That Tyler Hoechlin actually has been playing Superman. That's what people, well, some people would know him from. He's been playing Superman in basically the TV DC universe, like The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, those Supergirl, those shows. He's been playing Superman. So people might know him from that.
You know, I'm looking at Jenna Friedman's... Oh, she's a stand-up comedian. That's how I know her. Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, she doesn't have any like acting credits, but she's a stand-up comedian. Anyway, Palm Springs on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 94% certified fresh from critics with a score of 8.08 out of 10 and an audience score of 88% with a score of 4.16 out of 5. So relatively similar scores. Critics' consensus, strong performance, assured directing, and refreshingly original concept make Palm Springs a rom-com that's easy to fall in love with. And I love how they say a refreshingly original concept.
Right.
Even though it's just a retelling of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's lesser Groundhog's Day.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I struggle with as I think of what to rate this. Is it super original? I don't know that it is. I think it tries to take a fresh approach to unoriginal topics, and I think it's mostly succeeds in that.
Yeah.
So I give it credit for that.
For sure. I'm along the same path where it's like it's using the same concept that Groundhog Day and Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
You know, it takes on that same concept. But honestly, this script is so brilliant in a lot of the good movies that use this concept are good scripts.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for doing what you set out to do and doing it very well. Whether it's super original, I mean, this has elements of romantic comedies that we've all seen before. This has a lot of elements that aren't necessarily new, but it's so effective and done so well that it's very, very enjoyable. And there's something we said for that. It does it well enough to where at least it feels fresh and it feels new, I guess. It's still enjoyable.
Without a doubt. And I think one of the beautiful things about this type of movie is that like it explores a basic tenet of comedy, which is just game. And they explain the game so well where it's you fall asleep, you wake up in the same day. And that's like the parameters, and it's not more complicated than that until the last quarter of the movie.
Well, and
as the characters progress.
The other thing too is what it kind of does is it uses that Groundhog's Day approach, not so much as you know, like we're waking up in the same day, like it's a trippy kind of deal, let's have fun, but it also uses it as like a metaphor for long-term relationships and it's how every day can feel the same and how do you spice things up and how do you change things up. And so that aspect of it was different, you know, like what is the meaning of life if every day is the same damn thing over and over, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So I do like the approach they took to a not so unique premise. They twisted it enough to make it
for sure
unique, I guess.
And that's what I mean. Like the script is so well done. I would say perhaps better than Groundhog Days or Live, Die, Repeats. I don't know if there are other movies that do it this style.
I'm sure there's Happy Death Day or whatever, yeah. Where I haven't actually seen it, but I know that's got that same concept. Yep. But
yeah. But no, I think this movie popped up on my Hulu, and I was like somewhat interested, and I was like, I don't know. And immediately the girlfriend was like, nope, don't want to see it. It looks dumb. And then I think it was a listener request. That's why I picked
it. Yeah, it was. It was.
And so I was like, all right, why not? You know, I'm interested. But Brent, you haven't really given your first thoughts. What do you think?
There are moments. It wasn't a bad movie. Like, it was good, watchable. Like, I still think Groundhog's Day kind of still has done it the best. You know, that was the first. Sure. And I think we're going to kind of start getting into, I mean, it's a comedy, so spoilers, whatever, aren't as big of a deal. But I think we're going to kind of get into spoilers. But the beginning of the movie got me, because I remember when you told us about this movie a long time ago, like when you were thinking about it before you picked it, like you're like, oh, yeah, it's like a Groundhog's Day thing. Well, like, I totally forgot about that, and I just turned the movie on and started watching it without looking at anything.
Yeah.
And, like, when they're in the desert, he just gets shot with the arrow. I was like, what the hell is going on? But dude, then, like, he wakes up. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's a Groundhog's Day type movie. I was like, what is this movie doing?
Yeah, it takes a hard left. And like, that sequence, because, like, Groundhog's Day kind of, like, leads you into it, you know? And here it picks up mid-action, and I think getting right into it saves a lot of time, and it's beautiful that the way they did it. Honestly, this movie's a hidden gem for me. Like,
it is very, and I guess one of the things that the comedy aspect of it, I like that they use basically the day after day time loop deal to essentially just create little independent comedic moments. Like, one day they're doing this rehearsed dance, and another they're pretending to be you know, like an action star where there's a bomb in the cake, you know. They're just doing these things to make things fun, and it was hit and miss for me. I think some of it was funnier than others, but I think for the most part it's pretty consistently funny, which is, yeah, I mean, it's a comedy. That's the most important thing. And there were a few laugh out loud moments, and surprising laugh out loud moments. And I think a lot of that is due to, well, one, like you said, the writing is very good.
Yeah.
But two, both of the stars, I mean, obviously Andy Samberg's hilarious, but Kristen Milioti, who I don't think I've seen in anything, she was very good and she was very funny.
Yeah, the only thing I know that she has been in is, and spoiler alert for any of those How I Met Your Mother fans.
Oh, was that?
That's
her. Was she the mother?
She's the mother.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I love that show. I don't remember that was her.
Yeah. That's actually one of the reasons why Laura, my girlfriend, was like, nope, not watching it, because she hated the mom.
What?
Yeah.
Just she was one of those, like, it should have been Robin people.
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know, right? The worst. Actually, whatever. I've only ever seen like a season or two of that show, but
well, watch more. It's very good. Yeah,
I know it is. But no, so
I know it is. I haven't seen it, but I know it is.
Well, no, but I mean, everybody talks about that. Like, everybody loves The Office, in like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Which I think Shane hates The Office. Am I right?
No, I like The Office. I really like The Office. And I really like How I Met Your Mother. That's one of my favorite sitcom style TV shows.
Right. Getting back to Palm Springs though, so when this movie started and you have like the $2 special effects, I was like, oh my God, what are we getting into? Because like the camera's just shaking for an earthquake, and I think there's like lava or something.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? That wasn't the point. And also it makes it more fun. More funnier.
Yep. More funnest.
More fun. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The funnest.
I legitimately was like, oh no. Because I think there's a fine line of being like cheeky about it.
And then this, just being straight up cheap.
Yes. And this one felt like straight up cheap. But then, dude, honestly, like, it gets so much better. And it explores, like you said earlier, it explores the themes of like long-term relationships and and happiness and responsibilities for that.
Yeah, and perspective. I mean, even the fact that this how if every day is feeling the same, if you put a fresh perspective on each day. I mean, you look at J.K. Simmons' character who,
yeah.
I mean, he's not in a whole lot, but J.K. Simmons does his thing and steals every scene he's in. But even like his character, there's that good balance of he's hilarious, but it's also well written because he's a character that was, even before he was in this time loop, he felt like he was living the same day after day, and he had his wife and his kids, and he just wanted to lose that responsibility. And then you see that he, like, the things that he hates are the things that he loves now. I mean, he's watching his son water a pile of dog poop. And that, you know, before, that's something that would have just, like, annoyed him. And now he sits there and drinks a beer and watches it every day because it's one of those little things in his life. It's just that little switch of perspective for him that makes something that would have been just part of the tedium, and it makes it something that he can just latch onto and enjoy as part of everyday life, you know? So I the writing did extremely well done in balancing just like the kind of zany comedy, but with real life comedy and real life.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a message, but just kind of something to think about it and a little, I used that setup as a metaphor, and that was, like you said, I think it's very, very well written.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, and I think what better year to like put this movie out?
Yeah, right.
Aside from a movie where people are stuck in their houses and just living the same day over and over, it feels like. So I mean, it's this. I'm pleasantly surprised. Like I had somewhat low expectations, because what is the last feature-length film that Andy Samberg has done?
I don't know. Was it that Don't Stop Stopping or something? That was the last thing I remember seeing.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now, actually.
But I think I like his type of comedy.
I think he's hilarious.
And I guess he's also
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you trying to figure out what the last movie he did was, but I guess he's also been busy with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Oh, well, he was in that Adam Sandler movie. Was that the...
Is that... Which one is that? There's Brigsby Bear in 2017, it looks like. And then Take the Ten, which is a Netflix one. With that one stars Josh Peck. So,
that Adam Sandler one was a while ago. It was something like Daddy's Boy or what?
Oh,
what
yeah, that was like...
That's My Boy. That's what it was called. That was like 2012, apparently. So it's been a while since I've seen him in anything. I guess, movie. I've seen him, obviously, in his TV stuff.
See, but that's my point, is like he doesn't do a whole lot of features, and I don't know if he's just not getting the opportunity, but I absolutely love Andy Samberg. I think he's hilarious.
He's probably busy with a lot of stuff because, like I said, he's got Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He still does stuff with Lonely Island. Mm-hmm. He has his own production company, the Lonely Island Productions or whatever, that he helps stuff with. So he probably just does stuff that he wants to do. And, like, so people offer him these movies and he might just be like, no, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Because he seems like, even though he hasn't done a lot of featured movies, he still stays busy.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he was partial producer on this one, too. If I remember in the beginning credits, it said the Lonely Island Production Company.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I enjoy his type of comedy. He's one, I think he's a good enough actor. And he's a versatile comedian, I think. He can do dumb comedy, but he can also do that, like, sarcastic, dry humor. And he's a good enough actor to pull off that smart, witty humor. So yeah, I think he more so than a lot of comic actors, I think he is set up for longevity better than a lot of them, and I really like him. I liked him in this. I thought he was his acting was good, and also he brings, you know, he's got that typical Andy Samberg doesn't care kind of.
Yeah, I wonder if the second half of his career will take off, like, because Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been canceled two or three times now and brought back. And I wonder what will be after post Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
How,
you know
how I mean? how he will evolve will be interesting to see if he does more indie movies or if he writes or what you know what he decides to do with this comedy. That will be interesting.
Yeah. Let's talk about the actress Kristen Milioti.
Yeah, she was awesome. and she was very funny. She was they had good chemistry together, which I mean the romance part of the romantic comedy I think worked. It felt real, it felt natural. They had good chemistry. She was a real, they felt like real people, you know, she was a real person stuck in this, trying to get out, doing what she needs to do. And
dude, I love how she learned nuclear physics.
I mean, you got all the time in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's, they don't have to explain, cause you know, it's a long time, but like when these movies, when they're stuck in the loops, they never really tell you how long it is, but it's like, could be years, you know, like you
can spend like
20-30 years like in this time loop, and then so you can learn physics and you know how to deal with time travel and all whatever she had to learn. So I remember
spoilers, if you haven't watched it now, let's get into spoilers, but if you haven't watched it now, you guys recommend they go watch it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's, I mean, if you have Hulu, it you already have access to it, so 100% go watch it. Yeah,
right.
I'm not gonna tell somebody not to watch it. Like, it's a, some people don't like these type of comedies. Like, I enjoyed it for the most part, but like, so if somebody's like, oh hey, should I watch it? So I'm like, yeah, go ahead and watch it. I'm not. It's not a movie where I'm gonna be like, no, don't watch that movie.
Right. No. So spoiler alert: at the end of the movie, they're like, Ari, well, do you want to go? And I was like, dude, I would go learn everything. Like, I would stay in there now that we figured out how to get out.
100%.
Learn everything I can and then leave.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. I don't know if I would learn shit, because why? But you got a world with no rules. I mean, you have your way out for if you want to get out, but now... At that point, you're in this world with a way out. You're not trapped anymore. Now, I mean, you can. Yeah. I mean, I guess in his case, he's been in there for
ever.
Yeah, I mean, a thousand million billion, who knows how many years.
Well, he originally didn't want to leave, anyways. But the reason that got pushed to them wanting to leave now was because of her. She didn't want to keep waking up and seeing her sister's husband because she was cheating. So,
like, at some point the guilt goes away. Come on, what are you doing?
Well, I mean,
if I was in that situation and I was Andy Samberg's character, I would have been like, can we just go one more night? Because I did some, like, I stole a truck, I got punched in the face, I did some stuff to get here, so can we just do one more night to reset that so that I don't have some sort of record?
Yeah. Oh man, I honestly don't know what else there is to talk about. I mean, I think it's just a fantastic movie. And the setups early in the movie come back, which you don't see a whole lot.
That's smart comedy. That's the thing that I love about, I mean, we've talked about it in Edgar Wright movies before. That's one of the things that I think he is one of, if not the best at doing, is setting up recurring jokes that then take a twist. Or setting something that seems like nothing up at the beginning, and then at the end, here it comes out of nowhere after you forgot about it. And yeah, you're right. This did a good job of doing that. And it had the advantage of doing that kind of like sneak attack thing, because that's built into the premise. Every day's the same. Every day is the same. And then here's a curveball he throws at you, you know? Right. So, but yeah, I think the star of this is the writing. Being able to take something that very easily could have felt like something like a been there, done that type of movie, and twisting it and tweaking it enough to make it feel different. Yeah. And everything else was very good. Don't get me wrong, but I think the writing to me was the star of this movie.
Aside from the special effects.
True. True. and the, my favorite scene was just the when he is has the crossbow and takes the bomb out of the cake, there's a bomb in the cake, you know, and like that they put there, and they're just playing these characters, and she has a really bad Russian accent.
Yeah, and he even says something like,
what he's like, this? And according to, and apparently from her accent, from places unknown.
Yeah.
Another one that I think was a good balance of, I don't know how to describe it other than smartly written stupid comedy, because it's just silly, but it would take a smart person to come up with this when she says, "You have one more sentence." And he goes through this like 20 minute long sentence using grammar, you know, throwing in commas and ellipses and
comma.
Yes.
Colon.
You know, it's just this stupid, silly concept of him doing that, but that's actually pretty smart writing.
Yeah. See, I feel like that's low key my brand of comedy that I try to do too. Just so stupid, but you have to have some level of intelligence.
There's thought behind the stupid comedy. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And this had a few moments like that. That was just one of them. I was very impressed with the writing.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it wasn't like super funny, but one of my favorite scenes/jokes in the movie is when he's talking, when he goes to the other guy's house that's in the time loop with him, and he's talking to him. And then, like, he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have come back here, you know, like, basically ending their relationship, saying we shouldn't see each other anymore. And he was like, well, can you just kill me one more time, you know, just to beat the traffic? And he's like, all right, sure, let's go to the side house.
Dude, and then he's already in the recycle bin. Cracked me up how he just, like, and slumped down.
Yeah, it was. I would say this is probably my favorite comedy of the year.
What else have you seen?
Well, I mean,
nothing.
I've seen. Well, I guess Coffee and Kareem, that Netflix movie. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
Onward, if that counts as a comedy.
What the hell's Onward?
That animated.
It's on Disney Pixar. Plus, where like they're trolls or whatever they are.
The Hunt, I guess, was kind of a comedy. I don't watch a whole lot, but I think this was the best.
Interesting.
Maybe Bad Boys for Life, I guess, could you, if you call it a comedy. I like that one a lot, but
Bad Boys for Life.
Or Spencer Confidential. I remember watching that one this year. Ugh.
Besides Bad Boys and Onward, I don't think I've seen any of these movies you have mentioned.
Spencer really Confidential is that Netflix movie with Mark Wahlberg, and it is...
Oh, yeah, I don't like
Mark Wahlberg. God, it's bad.
All right, are we at the point where we want to rate this?
I think so. You want first or last? It's your movie.
I'll actually go first. I got a number in mind, and I'm ready to go. This movie, to me, is easily a 8, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And 8. I don't know. What is that on the scale?
B+.
B+. Perfect.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. It pleasantly surprised me. I didn't have super high expectations, because I think there is still a stigma around like Hulu originals or Netflix originals.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that we expect the quality of them, aside in very rare cases, to be as good as
a thing. Well, and there's kind of a difference between, so there's like Hulu originals. Like, I don't know if you've seen those. They do seasonal horror movies. Like, they'll have one that revolves around Valentine's Day, and then they have one that revolves around Thanksgiving. Those are like developed, produced by Hulu. This was something that was made its festival and was bought by Hulu. So that,
sure,
like, there's a difference between Hulu originals and Hulu made products. And I think these have the chance of being better. These are the ones that interest me more than something that Hulu made themselves.
Right. But it still has, they have the same stamp though, right?
No, you're right. You're right. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I think, cause Netflix, I think, does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll have Netflix in-house ones, and then like, they'll just buy the rights from a studio or have the studio produce it. I'm not entirely sure how that entire world works, but no. Yeah. Pleasantly surprised. I give it an 8.
Which all right, Brent.
Like to go next, Brent.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed the movie. Like I said, I think The original concept of it with Groundhog's Day, they did it better, but that's just because I'm a big fan of Bill Murray.
Yeah, 100%. I don't
know exactly what the, off the top of my head, what the scale is. I want to give it somewhere in the B range. I don't know,
it's that's a 7.5 to under 8.
Okay, so then I'll have to give it a 7.5 crossbow kills. So yeah, I like in the B. I like it like as a B, so 7.5 sounds good.
All right. Sure.
Yeah, I'm right there. I was also pleasantly surprised, and this does exactly what it sets out to be. I don't want to oversell the depth of the movie. Because it's not like a deep movie. It's still a comedy and a lighthearted comedy at that. I mean, but
I think it is a deeper movie.
It's much smarter than these movies typically are. Yes. And it definitely deserves credit for it. It's well written. I think it's incredibly well acted. I don't know that the actors could have done much better with this material. J.K. Simmons shows up and steals this every scene he's in. It's directed well. I wouldn't say it's amazing directing. It just kind of serves its purpose. I'm in the same range as Brent. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I think it's a good enough tweaking of a mostly unoriginal concept.
All right. So 7.67 is the final score.
Which is a B.
All right. So let's play a quick little game of My iPad is Dead. So, pop quiz, a-holes. Is that good?
Perfect. I almost thought it was Keanu.
Thank you. This or Sandlot?
Oh, Sandlot.
Sandlot.
This. Sorry. Had to be said.
No, that's you're wrong. I mean, I know that subjectivity is a thing, right. But you can also be wrong, and you are.
Okay, fair enough. This or Silence of the Lambs? Very similar movies.
Silence.
I guess overall, Silence of the Lambs was a better movie, but I guess if you're just looking for a more fun time, Palm Springs.
Right. I feel the same.
Yeah, if I'm wanting a fun movie night, I'm probably not picking Silence of the Lambs.
Who wants to come over for fun movie night? I have fava beans. This or Dogma?
Oh, God, this. I would watch this 5 times before I watched Dogma.
I like Dogma, but I'm going to pick this.
Yeah, I like Dogma. That's a hard one. I'd probably go with Dogma.
This or The Great Dictator?
I don't think I watched that. What is that?
That's the Charlie Chaplin one.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have never seen that.
It was good.
It was pretty good.
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
I'd rather watch this again.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, it was good, but, you know, sometimes those older movies sometimes are a little harder to watch.
Yeah. This or Starship Troopers?
Oh, I love that movie. I'm going with Starship
Troopers. Yeah, I think Starship Troopers.
This or Big?
Big.
Probably Big.
I'd pick Big as well. This or... There aren't a whole lot of comedies this high. This or Deadpool?
I think this is more rewatchable. I'll say it. This.
I don't know. I think it's a toss up between the two. This or Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt for the Wilder People. I don't even hesitate.
That's a much better made movie, but I think I would rather watch this. I think the script is way better, personally.
I don't think so. I mean, not that this is bad, but I would pick the Hunt for Wilder People easy.
Yeah.
This or God, there's really not a whole lot of comedies that we've done. Oh, Raging Bull.
Ah, yeah, that one was hilarious.
Hilarious movie.
Remember when he was beating up his brother? How funny.
Oh man, good times.
I would watch this. I think more. It's easier to watch it more often. But the Raging Bull's clearly a better movie.
Right. All right. So 7.67 for Palm Springs, a listener request. Thank you for the submission.
That was a good one.
Yes. If you have a submission, go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. You can request them right on the homepage or email us at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. Who's got the pick next week? I believe
it is. I don't know the list.
Matt or Brent?
So, well, I don't know. Either way, we're boned.
Either way, we're boned.
Hey, Brent, you should pick Groundhog Day.
At least I should. No. I believe I take two of the highest rated movies on our list. Just saying.
Yeah, you right.
Who did?
Me.
What did you?
Jojo Rabbit and Peanut Butter Falcon.
Okay, well, Jojo Rabbit's not even in the top 10, so. I guess it is number 10. I lied. And Peanut Butter Falcon.
Wow. He took it and count to 10.
No, okay, because number one, I forget, it's like the title.
Right. So it's the 11th row, but number 10.
Yeah. And Peanut Butter Falcon's only at 16, so you can't even.
So it's not even that good. Like, yeah, 16 out of like 350, not that good.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Let's get better.
I don't know. I'm sure I picked other ones too. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't know exactly what's in the top 20.
I wonder, you know, this is an off topic question, but I wonder if who has picked the most high rated.
That's your homework, is to compile the list, say who picked it, average their score, and then rank how well we've picked.
Yeah, but that's not fair, though, because you can pick a movie like whoever picked Saving Private Ryan. They all knew we all loved that movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like,
true.
A lot of the movies
be received.
A lot of the movies that I've picked are like maybe Shane has picked or something like that, is ones that none of us have seen or only maybe one or two of us have seen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of not fair.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes you take a chance, and we all know that Matt has clearly picked the worst movie of all time when he picked that, whatever that stupid foreign, like, remember she had that kid? What was that one?
Shelly.
Ugh.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't watch that one.
I dare you.
No,
that was a horrible movie. Although it wasn't supposed to be funny, but there was one scene where I laughed out loud when the baby's just sitting there and the dude does like a fake punch, like he's gonna punch. He's like, ugh.
I'm trying to get him to like two for flinching, and
no,
nope. God, oh man. All right, well, we'll figure out whose pick it is.
Yeah, join us next week for another review. Again, moviereviewcrew.com. Someone in the show,
tell your friends.
Let's go, but inconspicuously, through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night, and good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.